So, what are the poor? Who are the poor? It's an ancient question. The Romans didn't have a word for poor people. You're either a citizen or a slave. But when the early Christian fathers came along, they spoke of the poor as a group to whom we all owed an obligation, expressed, of course, through generous donations to church coffers. So what does it mean to be poor? Not working class or middle class or squeeze middle, but poor. The Social Metrics Commission, chaired by Philippa Stroud of the Legatum Institute, has a new answer to that knotty question with its new report, A New Measure of Poverty for the UK. So, Philippa, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
And we, over the last 5 years, we've had new definitions of what it means to be poor. You had the rhetoric of scroungers and strivers reigniting a kind of old idea of the deserving and undeserving poor. So how does this commission aim to kind of cut through that debate?
Thank you. This commission has really focused on bringing people from across the political spectrum and across the debate together. What we wanted to do was develop a new definition of poverty and how you measure it, but also put an end to the constant battle about measurement, and so that actually we could move the debate on to how do we actually develop the best interventions for people who are in poverty. So that was why we started this commission. I founded it in 2016. But then there's a whole background to this as well. So when I was in government, there was a lot of debate about how the old poverty measure actually behaved and what was included within it and what wasn't included within it. And what you found was that actually if the economy went into recession, then by the old measure, statistically, you could lift children out of poverty. Likewise, if the economy grew, statistically, children could be plunged into poverty. And actually, obviously, if their lives haven't changed at all, that isn't a good measure of poverty. And so we set out to see whether or not we could develop a new measurement of poverty for the UK.
Yeah, so from the report, there's a kind of striking stat that the low income poverty measure, which is seems to be the traditional measure, shows that poverty fell after the 2008 crash.
Yes.
But your measure, and the Commission's measure, showed that it spiked up, which obviously seems to me as a layman more reasonable.
Yes. So there were many different dimensions in the old measure that we have improved on, so that actually it reflects the lived experience of people. Our focus the whole way through this has been to try and develop a measure that genuinely tracks the lived experience of people who are poor. So you're absolutely right. One of the things now that it does is demonstrate that when you go into recession, as you would anticipate, poverty would increase, and as you come out of it, poverty decreases. But there are other things that this new measure does as well. So, for example, previously there was no capturing of the concept of debt or of liquid assets. So you could have the situation whereby somebody was deemed to be in poverty, but actually had significant savings, and that doesn't make sense. Or that they were deemed not to be in poverty because they were just above the poverty line, but had significant debts and were paying huge debt repayments. And that the previous poverty metric was completely blind to that, and we capture that. There are some other things that we capture too. So, for example, because it was an income measure, the benefits that you got for being disabled were deemed just to be income, whereas actually they're given by the government for the extra costs of disability. And what we've done is we've offset that against the costs of being disabled. So there's a much better picture of who is poor and the lived experience of those people.
Yeah, and that picture, the picture that emerges in that report is, I thought, quite shocking. And here are some of the big stats. 14.2 million people in the UK are judged to be living in poverty, which is 22% of the population. And poverty over the last 15 years, in spite of all the structural developments we've seen that should increase prosperity for everyone, has remained at persistently between 21 and 24%. So this like stubborn fifth of the population that is stuck in endemic and persistent poverty.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that really struck me from our work was that if you go back to 2001 and you think about all the debate that Labour had and everything that they did around poverty, and then you roll it forward to all that the Conservatives did and all the debate that there was about poverty, and bearing in mind across all of that time this is a very heated debate, actually the poverty numbers have hardly moved at all. And that should be the biggest challenge to us. And the reason why we wanted to develop a new measure of poverty was to bring left and right together so that we could stop having this heated debate around how we measure it and actually move that on to what are we actually going to do about it.
Yeah. And the report focuses specifically on a variety of things, which is disability, interestingly, I thought poverty over time, which is, I imagine, a very hard thing to measure, but obviously completely vital for how you judge how someone feels about their situation, worklessness.
Yeah.
And also, I thought a very striking point of the report talks about family breakdown.
Yeah.
I think it's an enormous proportion of single, 52%, that's the stat, 52% of lone parent families are poor.
Yeah.
In marked comparison to people who live in families. So the picture that emerges from the report, which we can all kind of agree on, is of a society which has stopped caring about poverty, or at least is unable to remedy those things.
So we obviously, as commissioners, and actually I would say that reflects more broadly society, haven't stopped caring about poverty. But I do think that people are stuck in terms of what we actually do about it. And you're absolutely right. 14.2 million people are shown to be in poverty at a given time. But me personally, the ones that I'm really concerned about are those, the 7.7 million who are shown to be there persistently over a long period of time. And actually, even more so is not just those who are at the poverty line, but who are up to 50% below the poverty line, and there's 8 million of those. And I kind of feel like our focus has to be, well, our focus needs to be in kind of two places. One, how do we support those who are really stuck in long-term poverty, but then also those who are cycling in and out. And we've captured those who are 10% below and those who are 10% above. And there is quite a lot of cycling taking place there. And it wouldn't take an awful lot to really support those people up and out.
So you mentioned earlier interventions. And obviously in the UK, interventions for people who live in poverty started off from quite a historically low base, you know, like in the 80s with mass unemployment, people just go and collect the dole and go home. And there's no effort to give them a CV or whatever. But now we've gone the opposite way, I think, and we're really aggressive about intervention-led targeting of people who need to be back in work. How do you think that should change?
Yeah. Well, the thing about the report that we're launching is that it's the measurement, and in that respect, it's intervention neutral. But what it does is it captures the total resources available against the total needs of a family. It captures depth and persistence, and then it captures the lived experience, what it's actually like to be in poverty. I've called it the resilience gap. What that does is actually provides many different ways in which governments of all colour could intervene in order to support people who are disadvantaged and who are in poverty. So we've tried to keep this kind of remedy neutral and actually say, you know, if you're of one political persuasion or another, there's a whole smorgasbord of things that you could do to genuinely improve poor people's lives.
So could you kind of take me through the whole kind of range of lived experience factors in poverty?
So in terms of the lived experience, we've done a comparison between those who are in poverty with those who are not. And we've done that by family structure, as you say, in terms of family breakdown, or in fact, never even coming together in terms of family structures. Educational qualifications, so the difference between those who have no or very low educational qualifications of those in poverty and those not. The work history, the health history, mental health history, luxury, alcohol, drugs, and then how safe people feel in their community. And those are all play out as you would anticipate, as being significantly lower for those who are in poverty than those who are not. Interestingly, apart from the excessive drug use and the excessive alcohol use, which actually show up to be higher amongst those not in poverty than those in poverty.
Gosh, that's fascinating.
Yeah.
I also found interesting that the regional disparities, Scotland seems to have a lower level of poverty than the rest of the UK, but yeah, Wales has a higher level.
Yeah.
So it kind of impacts differently over the different constituent nations.
And there's a very interesting London story, because we often talk about the kind of north-south divide or the London effect in terms of wealth. But actually, when you come to looking at poverty levels, they are higher in London than in the northeast or the northwest, which I think is a surprise to a lot of people.
Yeah, I was surprised by a few of the stats. I was particularly surprised by the fact that, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, the poverty measurement among people who are pensioners has gone down over the last 10 years.
I mean, the pensioner story is a real story of progress, and is a real testimony to, now probably about 18 years worth of investment in caring for pensioners. I mean, the one challenge on the pensioner numbers is that we have asked the ONS to start capturing in the same surveys the social care costs, because we've not been able to offset the social care costs into this, which may change those numbers. But at this moment in time, it's telling a very good story about the progress made on pensioner poverty.
Yeah, how far do the stats go back? I mean, how far can these measurements of poverty be used in a comparative way with how we were measuring poverty in the 90s or the 80s? Because you do this very interesting thing with the Venn diagram with the low income measurement, where you show that there's a kind of meeting point where there are sort of 7 million people who are classed as poor by both measurements.
Yeah.
But is there a kind of broader kind of context there?
In the report, we've gone back to 2001. In order to be able to show how poverty has changed over time. And we've done that by both measures as well. Going back much further, it's interesting, the concept of child poverty didn't exist before the Brown-Blair years. They introduced that concept. But historically, before that, it was always family poverty. And the interesting thing about this new measure is we haven't just focused it around child poverty. We have done pensioner age, working age, and children, because we did feel that we need a much broader view of what poverty is.
And that's really significant, because you see it as in the past, it's been a very potent political football to say, I've lifted. Yeah. And it's that classic criticism of Brown, is to repeatedly say, I've lifted so-and-so numbers out of poverty, without really making a difference to persistent levels of poverty. What I wanted to move on to talking about was the interaction between poverty and welfare. How have changes in the way our welfare system interacted with these kinds of measurements over the last 10 years? Because welfare is now so intricately intertwined with low-income families, whether they're in work or workless.
So, obviously you can use the welfare state to move the measures.
Yeah.
But actually, one of the strongest stories from this report too is the story about work. And it comes out very strongly that work, and particularly full-time work, so we often just talk about work, but actually it's full-time work that really lifts a family out of poverty. And obviously part-time work can be a great stepping stone towards getting a work habit and then moving towards full-time work. But it's particularly full-time work. So the welfare state and how it supports work is really important. And then I think one of the reasons why our measure shows up a greater number of families with either a disabled adult or a disabled child in it is because it can be harder to work full time. And we really do see in this measure a story of the fact that it's full time work that changes people's trajectory.
Yeah, and again, I thought that was a striking illustration that no matter really how precarious that work is judged, it just the the dignity, yeah. all these other values which yeah. come in, which are, again, very hard to measure in traditional interpretations yeah. of poverty.
Yeah.
I kind of wanted to... You mentioned this idea of needs versus resources, and that for me is something that I just can't really get my head around, is how you, in the measurements, distinguish between like present need and like long-term resource. Like yeah. how... Is that almost too specific to capture?
Well, what we did was we had kind of a number of guiding principles when we were creating this metric, and we kind of almost nicknamed it the Poverty Now measure. So there are lots of decisions that families could make long term to change their trajectory and to change their circumstances. Mm-hmm. But when we were creating this measure, we were being guided by the principle of what can I use to put food on the table today? So, for instance, we include assets in this measure, but it's the liquid assets that we include. So we haven't included whether or not you own a property, because actually, even if you were to sell that property to change your circumstances, you can't do that today. So this is the lived experience of today. Obviously, if you know, as time went on, a family could alter their circumstances, and if they did that through either selling their property, downsizing or whatever, then they may not appear in a poverty measure. But we've captured people who today might be struggling to put food on the table.
How do these, maybe it's because I didn't read the report closely enough, but how do these measurements make an attempt to include things like ethnic minorities or even sexual minorities?
So we haven't, for this report, we haven't done that. Mm. But there's no reason why, I mean, we've got the data sources. We tried to kind of recreate quite faithfully the same sets that are kept in the old measures. And that's why the report is pretty lengthy with all the data sets. But there would be no problem in going back and doing that. You just have to be careful when you start getting down to smaller and smaller groups
yeah.
that actually the data source we use, the Family Resource Survey, can actually genuinely support that.
Well, yeah, and it's, if you're focusing on a very small group, imagine like trying to measure how, for example, like Orthodox Jews in Stamford Hill are in poverty.
That gets complicated.
It's particularly nuns, and I suppose
yeah.
is trying to measure how different communities are prosperous or not.
Yeah.
Must be really
you're better
difficult.
Then doing some primary research, to
yeah.
be honest, rather than using a big data set.
So how do you expect this? And I know the report doesn't really talk about policy, but how do you expect this to be received by the two main parties? Is the Tory party interested in poverty reduction in the way that it was maybe 5 or 10 years ago? Is the Labour Party interested in this kind of change?
So I think all parties at this moment in time are somewhat preoccupied with the major challenge yeah. that they have in front of them. And that's actually one of the strengths of bringing it out now, is that we've got time for people to understand it. We've got time to talk with government officials, opposition officials, to actually help them evaluate whether or not this is a metric they want to adopt.
Mm.
We have worked quite closely with the Office of National Statistics, and their advice to us has been, well, if people start to use it, then they could authenticate it. If they authenticate it, it becomes a lot easier for government to use it.
Mm-hmm.
I've been briefing and different members of the commission right across the political spectrum have been briefing people, and so far the reception has been very warm.
Mm-hmm.
And people have been really interested. We know that we have a problem in Britain. We know we don't have an official measure of poverty. We know we're going to need to introduce one, because that situation can't go on indefinitely. We believe that this is the best and the most accurate way of capturing those who are in poverty. We know too that Britain has been a world leader in tackling poverty, and our conviction is that once again we can be a world leader on tackling poverty, but it needs a measure like this to show the way.
Absolutely. And that, I think, the emotive picture that emerged, which I think will have the biggest positive impact, there's a real emotive picture that emerges from the report. If you sit with the stats and let them kind of drill into you, the picture that came into my head was of a whole class of society which you can now call poor, because it's so different from the rest of society, whatever the kind of dynamics going on. And it's marked by, again, physical disability,
yeah.
low education,
yeah.
family breakdown, you know, these really sort of like, and also like over time, it's long term.
Yes. Yeah.
And, you know, the first step we can try and make to understanding that is by capturing it.
Yes, I absolutely agree.
Brilliant. Well, thanks so much for coming on, Philippa.
Real pleasure. Thank you so much.
That was a special episode of the Reaction Podcast, an interview with Philippa Stroud, CEO of the Legatum Institute, who chaired the report by the Social Metrics Commission, A New Measure of Poverty for the UK. Tune in later this week for more kind of rapid reaction podcasts and our weekly chat with the editorial team. Thanks for listening.